Welcome in. It's Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ and on Facebook Live, presented by Speedy Septic in Strasburg. We are joined by Alex Hooper. He covers the Cavs and the Indians for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Also find him on Twitter, at Lex Hooper. Alex, thanks for the time. Hey, man, we'll get right to it. Want to go back real quick, if we can, to Game 7 versus Boston. I mean, when it came down to it, it was just the veteran Cavs against a young Boston squad who maybe shrunk a little bit in the moment in Game 7.
Yeah, I think that's the way to put it. You know, those guys that were hitting shots all series for the Celtics just all of a sudden couldn't buy a bucket. And I think it's exactly what you chalked it up to. It was youth. And you had a guy like Jeff Green who, frankly, I've killed all season. I mean, he's been frustrating, and his shot selection is really questionable at times, but he did what he had to do to push his team past a young, scrappy, talented Celtics team. Guys who knew the moment and knew how to act in the moment really buckled down and did the dirty work. Tristan Thompson, another guy like that, just did what they had to do and kind of let LeBron go out there and take control, take hold like he does. It was nice to see when you have those sorts of guys doing all of the right things when they need to be done. Of course, I think everybody was a little short of breath by the end of it, but it was just, like you said, those veterans going out there, knowing the moment, doing what they had to do.
Speaking of Jeff Green, how about him and George Hill in the locker room when it was all said and done? Those two sitting in the corner kind of in disbelief. We're in the finals, finally. They've waited their whole careers. I mean, and two really interesting stories, too, with, I mean, George Hill. He's been on competitive teams before, the Spurs, the Pacers, who have challenged LeBron, never made it to the finals. And Jeff Green, who underwent open heart surgery, years back, now coming back to the NBA, and now he's in the finals.
Yeah, and two really, really good guys. You know, I've gotten to know them a little bit since they came to Cleveland, and they are consummate professionals, both of them. And you root for guys like that, especially in an era of self-promotion and those sorts of things. Those are two guys who, they care about their teammates, they care about people, and they're just all-around good guys who want to go out there and win. And frankly, I don't think either of them coming into the playoffs thought necessarily that they would break through to the finals, finally. I think if you looked at this team, it was hard to see that. I mean, you had LeBron, and you know his track record, and you know how he gets things done in the playoffs, but other than that, there wasn't a whole lot to go on that said the Cavs would make it this far. So you got to be real happy for those guys. I think they're ready to put in the work that they have to make an impact here in the finals, but it's going to be an uphill climb.
Alex, how do you think that Cleveland is going to move forward defensively, you know, into the finals? They really played at times very, very good defense against Boston. You know, I thought that at the end of the game, Boston decided they were just going to start chucking up threes, which none of them fell. But Cleveland's defense was really the story, in my opinion, of the games that they won, the four that they won in that series. And how do you think they move forward? If they can keep up this defensive pressure, they've got a good shot.
Yeah, I think the defense has been the story all playoffs long. I mean, even dating back to that Pacers series, Indiana didn't get over 100 points more than, I think, once or twice in that series. And in the NBA in 2018, I think that says a lot about your defense. Now, the fact that you were losing a lot of those games says a lot about your offense as well, but I think that's kind of by the wayside at this point. Yeah, I mean, the Cavs are going to have to muck this up. They're not going to be able to let the Warriors go out there and play a smooth offensive game and expect to win anything in this finals. They're going to have to be beyond physical. I would say even almost dirty. I mean, they're going to have to not hurt guys. That's not what I'm saying, but I mean, you're going to have to chip guys off screens. You're going to have to, you know, get low on loose balls and dive on the floor. And if that means being somewhere near a guy's foot, I mean, you can't worry about that sort of thing. Those things are out the window. The hustle plays have to be at 110%. The physicality has to be at 110%. I think you're going to see, again, a lot of Tristan. He's a guy who does those sorts of things. And I mean, frankly, outside of the obvious things. I think Tristan is as much to celebrate in the 2016 finals when the Cavs won it as, you know, again, other than the obvious things, one of, if not the reason that Cavs came away with that series. Now, Kevin Durant adds a wrinkle. Thompson was able to take away the death lineup from Golden State in that finals, but Kevin Durant obviously makes it a whole different story. But Thompson can cause those sorts of things. I think he's going to be huge defensively. I think, you know, there are a lot of guys who can guard Steph Curry in this series. I don't think he's your biggest worry. I think you just have to worry about containing Durant and then not letting Curry get the easy, easy shots. You're going to get, you know, what you're going to get from Klay Thompson. He's going to spot up and hit a lot. And you're going to get great passes to cutting Draymond Greens and, you know, even the loonies of the world, just all the way down that roster. Sean Livingston's a guy who gives the Cavs fits every year in the finals, and he's going to get those buckets as well. But I think as long as you contain Steph, you're going to feel pretty decent about yourself.
Well, Alex, it's all about closing out on the shooters, right? Boston had that problem against Kyle Korver at times, against J.R. Smith at times. I think for both teams, it's going to be about closing out to the shooter and not letting them get those open looks from behind a three-point line, because we know what Golden State's going to do, right?
Yeah, and, you know, obviously it's easier said than done with the way that, I mean, you have three of the top, what, 10 greatest shooters of all time sitting on this team, and, you know, two of them in Curry and Durant are as good at beating you off the dribble as, you know, many guys in the league as well. So you're going to have to close out. You're going to have to keep them in front of you, but the way that that team moves the ball and the way that everyone's a threat, you know, you can't break down too slowly. You're going to have to close out on a shooter, but also you're going to have to keep a foot back and keep that balance. So if they try to take you off the dribble and even create off one, two dribbles, kick it out to, you know, one of the other two guys, then you're going to look silly and they're going to beat you that way. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, again, it's, you got to take away the easy shots. And with this team's ball movement and with all their weapons, they're going to get a lot of those. You have to be almost perfect defensively, but they're going to hit tough shots. Durant's going to hit crazy shots. Curry's always hit crazy shots. Thompson hits crazy shots. Those are going to fall, and the Warriors are going to get, you know, 60 points off of, you know, things that generally you don't see even the best players in the world do. You just can't allow Steph Curry any open threes. You can't allow Klay Thompson to get free for anything. You can't let Kevin Durant go, frankly, undouble-teamed if he puts the ball on the ground. You just have to be almost perfect. Even as good as the Cavs defense has been, as good as their defensive personnel can be, you have to be near perfect.
It's Eric McElroy and Chris Kale with Big Z Sports. We're joined by Alex Hooper. He covers the Cavaliers for 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. I mean, so here we are again, Alex. Cavs, Warriors in the finals, fourth straight year. LBJ in the finals for his eighth straight season. Kind of a different path this year for both teams. I don't think especially the Cavs were really favored at all. It seems like since January on, we were kind of unsure about how the Cavs season would end up. Golden State inconsistent at times throughout the year. They've had injuries to some key players through some long stretches. That's why their consistency maybe was a little off in that Western Conference Finals. But like I said, a different path for both teams to get here. And you said something right there about the Cavs having to play nearly perfect. Are you shocked, though, that Golden State is such heavy favorites here in the finals, even with some of those points that I made right there? I mean, historic favorites going in to the NBA Finals, Alex.
Not really, because I think it says, I shouldn't say it says more about the Cavs. I mean, obviously, the Golden State Warriors are the greatest collection of talent in NBA history. I don't think anyone can argue that. As far as the players on the roster that will be in the building wearing that uniform for these games, it is the greatest collection of talent on a single team in the history of basketball. So, obviously, that plays into it a ton. But as far as finals teams go, you take LeBron James off of the Cavaliers, and obviously that does a lot, and for this hypothetical, it's kind of crazy. But you look at the guys who are there, and, I mean, this is a lottery team. I think if you replace LeBron with a replacement level player. Kevin Love is kind of the focal point, and you're seeing a team kind of like played on in Minnesota that didn't really get a whole lot done. And to have them in the finals against that collection of talent, I'm not surprised to see Vegas where it is. Also, when you consider the public and how they're going to bet, you know, I don't think there's a whole lot of people betting big money on the Cavs, because why would you? I don't know why anyone would. I don't think you can look at a finals matchup against that group and say, well, they have LeBron, so I feel comfortable betting my mortgage on just one guy. It's just, there's a lot going against the Cavs, and frankly, I think they will kind of rally against that adversity, but that psychological edge, if that's the only one you have, only takes it so far.
Now, you mentioned Kevin Love, too. What do you know? What have you heard? We know he's a question mark tonight for Game 1, and I guess a two-parter. And when he comes back, you put him right in the starting lineup, and especially after we'll see how tonight goes if Kevin Love doesn't play, but we have the potential to be 3-0 here in the playoffs with basically Jeff Green in the starting lineup for Kevin Love.
I think Kevin matches up better with the Warriors. I think he opens up the floor a little more for, you know, a defense that you need. I'm assuming that he will play tonight. I think the Cavs are fairly confident he'll be cleared in time for the game. And I think he goes. And, yeah, I think he starts. I think you need him to. And, again, you're going to need all the offensive firepower in the world. Obviously, he hasn't played in a few games. His conditioning's probably not going to be great. And he wasn't great against Boston either. But, I mean, he is your number two, undoubtedly. And in this scenario, I don't think you can risk the small sample size of, hey, we were a little better without him. I mean, they were. I think they objectively were better without Love on the floor. So I think you can look at that. But at this point, you got to throw everything against the wall. You got to hope your second best player can give you what he should give you. And I do. Again, I expect him to be cleared for tonight. I know the NBA concussion protocol is lengthy and thorough, but I think at this point it might just be a little bit of gamesmanship where they're just waiting as long as possible before they announce that he's cleared. I could be wrong.
Chris Kale, Eric McElroy here with you on 99.9 WTUZ, also on Facebook Live, WTUZ on Facebook, and with Speedy Septic and Drain Cleaning, our sponsor there. Alex, Andre Iguodala is out tonight, possibly. You know, we don't know when he's going to come back. It could be game two, it could be game three. How important is that as far as both teams are concerned? Because Iguodala guarding LeBron a couple years ago, look at what he did in the finals. And now with him not there in game one, is this a big opportunity for, you know, the Cavs to kind of steal one in game one?
Yeah, I think the pressure is there for that reason. I mean, at least internally, the Cavs have to say, hey, this is our chance. I mean, if we're going to win one at Oracle, to take it without Andre Iguodala, and especially, I mean, this Warriors team does not have a clean bill of health by any nation. There are other guys that are playing that are still pretty beat up. So without Iggy and without a guy who can really take LeBron out of games for stretches, yeah, I think you really have to attack that. I think you feel a lot better about your chances without Iguodala in the lineup. I think that's a big loss for the Warriors. Obviously, they can generate enough offense to where it doesn't matter like they did against the Rockets in those couple of games without him. But there are workarounds for the Cavs that I think they can find ways to get some offense. Now, if they miss 24 some odd threes like the Rockets did, it's not going to happen. But, yeah, I mean, the Warriors looked vulnerable without Iggy. So, I mean, again, I know the Cavs aren't the Rockets. I don't think they're really in the stratosphere in terms of talent, even with Houston, but this is your opportunity here. And when the Warriors are a little less beat up and maybe a little less familiar with what the Cavs are doing with their new look roster, maybe this is your time. And I think, again, you need to find ways to attack Iguodala not being in that lineup.
Alex, look, I think we all know and would agree that what the Cavs did on the road in Boston, even in Game 7. I mean, we only scored 87 points. If that game were against Houston or Golden State, we'd probably lose by 20 or 25. But we can't perform the way we did on the road, especially out there in Oakland at Oracle Arena. But I think we really need another guy to step up. Maybe someone we're not expecting. You think anyone can do that? Clarkson, Hood, anybody that maybe we're not expecting? Because in order to win the series, I think we will need somebody off of that bench to provide some instant offense and consistent scoring.
Yeah, I think you need JR and Korver at the same time. I think that's kind of the thing, is you either had one or the other or neither. And when it's just keying off of one guy, it's one thing. But when you have two guys who are threats to knock down threes at any point, that opens everything up for LeBron, and it just becomes a vicious circle. So, I mean, it doesn't just have to be those two guys, but I think those are the two guys that you kind of hope for. Obviously, if Love's hitting shots too, it's kind of the same situation. But you just need two of your shooters to knock it down. I mean, you don't have a roster right now where you can run out LeBron plus four shooters. And that's unfortunate, because that's where he thrives. But even with that kind of methodical lineup, the shooters haven't been shooting terribly well. So unless you get them all going, you have to rely on that grit and that grind. And I think you need one of those guys, two of those guys at the same time, to produce that offense. As far as Clarkson and Hood, I don't expect either of them to be big parts of this series. I don't know, you know, any reason why we should expect them to come out and all of a sudden flip the switch, especially Hood. I don't know if it's mental with Rodney or what, but, you know, he struggled in the playoffs with Utah too. So I don't know if the moment's too big for him or if it's just, again, small sample size and circumstance, but I don't really expect a whole lot out of him. Jordan Clarkson is who Jordan Clarkson is. He's going to shoot regardless. If he hits him, it's one thing. If he doesn't, another thing. But I don't know how long you can ride with a guy like that in the finals.
Rodney Hood sure liked posing with that trophy, though, the Eastern Conference trophy, Alex. I tell you that.
Might be his last one.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, Kyle Korver had a horrible finals last year, if we all remember. And listen, if he lays an egg again, I mean, can we really blame the guys? He's had a rough past few months, passing of his brother and everything. My optimism for the series, bleak at best. For some reason, though, Alex, tonight, I feel really, really well about Game 1. I don't know why. I actually think the Cavs are going to win tonight for some reason. Your outlook for Game 1 here tonight, and then extend it for the series. How do you think it will shake up, Alex?
Well, before I say it, I've got to preface it like this. I thought the Cavs would sweep the Celtics, so take my prediction with a grain of salt. I don't see any way that the Cavs win even a game in this series. I think it's possible, but when I'm looking at it from afar, the disparity in talent is just gigantic to me. I don't know how the Cavs generate enough offense to keep up with the Warriors, even on a bad night. I mean, if you look at Game 6 against Houston, Golden State looked horrible for long stretches of that game, and then all of a sudden, it's just like, boom, 40 points, just out of nowhere. And the Cavs' defense has been good, but I don't see how they can keep up with them. I really don't. Even without Iguodala tonight, I think, you know, there's a chance you can rally around it, but I just don't see it. I really don't. I think it's a sweep, and that might be me kind of overcompensating for, I guess, just the total lack of confidence that I have, and just, I don't know. It's really tough for me to look at it and see any way where the Cavs grab anything. The only thing that I see, and this is kind of to the depth of my kind of disdain for this team at this moment, is maybe the Warriors take a night off because they want to clinch at home. But that's kind of all I see. It really is. For what you had to do against that Boston team and the way you had to grind that out, a team that is missing, you know, a starting caliber point guard, you're running Terry Rozier out there, who has been good in his career, but not phenomenal. He's obviously getting better, and Jason Tatum is a nice rookie who's a borderline star, but it shouldn't have been that difficult. And I don't think the Cavs have put enough in motion to put up a fight against one of the best teams in NBA history. I really don't. I'm hoping that it gets extended. I'm hoping that they can make something out of this and get some positive momentum going into free agency. And, hell, I hope they win it. But it's really hard to see for me.
Alex, I'm not going to let you kill my vibe today. I'm trying to remain optimistic here and positive.
Well, Alex, I get with what you're saying totally. I do, but I also look at the fact that LeBron James is very comparable, if not obviously better than James Harden. And without Chris Paul in Houston's lineup, I still think the Cavs are as talented as what Houston is. And so I think that it's conceivable that they could, you know, make this a 5 or 6 game series. I don't think they're going to win it either, but I still think Cleveland, their talent level is just as good as, if not better than Houston's, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I disagree. I don't think there's anyone even within reach of Eric Gordon on this team. If Kevin Love gets going, it's a different story. It just hasn't been there. And even when he is going, I don't think he gives you what Eric Gordon gives you, a guy who can go inside out and be lethal from three, and then also, once you start cheating, beat you off the dribble. And, I mean, that's their third guy, his second guy without Chris Paul. But, again, I don't think the Cavs have a Trevor Ariza, who I know that Game 7 was abysmal offensively, but he's a lockdown defender. I don't see some of those ancillary guys. I don't see guys who step up and make a huge difference in other ways. I love George Hill. I think he absolutely needs to be on the court for the Cavs, and I think he makes a difference in a lot of ways, like protecting the basketball. But I just don't see guys. And again, maybe I'm a little too close. Maybe, I can't see the forest from the trees, but I just don't see anyone on this team who can be a game changer outside of just scoring. And it's just really tough for me to see where guys step up away from LeBron and shut down Steph, or take away something from Durant or Klay Thompson, or, you know, neutralize Draymond Green. I have a hard time seeing that personally.
All right. That's Alex Hooper. Some sobering thoughts there on the series.
I'm sorry.
Hey, Alex, don't be sorry, man. That's why we ask you back. We love your intake and your insight and all that. Real quick, we'll wrap up on this, another NBA hot topic, which is Brian Colangelo. I mean, this story is just nuts. Philadelphia 76ers now investigating their own team president, Brian Colangelo. Apparently, allegedly, I should say, using a variety of Twitter accounts, a.k.a. burner accounts, to anonymously trash some of his own players, some executives, and even defend himself with those burner accounts. This is just the world and the day and age, Alex, we live in with this instant stuff. And to be honest, I don't think he's the only maybe top-level NBA guy in the front office. I mean, anywhere in the league that may be doing this. But he's the first one to get caught. But it's just a crazy story, isn't it?
Yeah, it's. We sat in the interview room with Terry Francona yesterday and talked about it for 10 minutes. Tito didn't know anything about it, and we were just kind of telling him. And the look on his face was hilarious. And if you don't know Tito, like, outside of the game, he is one of the funniest people on earth. But just his exasperation was hilarious in its own right. I mean, if you read the Ringer piece, it's some damning evidence. I mean, the fact that all of a sudden this guy is going at Sixers executives and he's like, oh, yeah, but University of Chicago basketball, we love it. And then there's a Colangelo on that team.
His son or something, right?
His son, yeah.
My goodness.
And then yesterday, I don't know how confirmed it was, but someone put out a theory that the Eric Jr. account was actually his father because of, you know, he cites religion a lot, which, you know, Jerry, he's a very religious man and refers to himself as old man, which Jerry does. And there were some other pretty accurate ties to say that that's actually Jerry Colangelo's burner account. So it might go even deeper than what we know. And I don't think this ends well for Brian at all. I mean, I think it's fairly obvious if you read that whole piece that those are indeed his accounts, especially when you see guys, you know, trying to reset the password and they're all tied to the same email and phone number. I think it eventually brings Brian down. I think they never should have brought him in. I thought you should have stuck with Sam Inkey. And if I want to throw in a wrinkle, and I know I've been sobering enough, as you said, about the Cavs, but say Colangelo is out of there and the Sixers go out and throw huge money at David Griffin, things could get hairy.
I knew you were going to go there. Because we all think LeBron loves Griff. I know where you're going, Alex. I know.
Even without that, though, even not considering LeBron, I want to see David Griffin back in the NBA. I mean, I love him as a commentator. He's brilliant. But I want to see him a GM of a team, especially that team with all that talent. I think he could create another superpower. LeBron aside, I mean, I don't think LeBron's leaving. How about that? How about I give you that good note?
There we go, but Alex.
I just want to see Griff back.
I agree with you, Alex. I don't think he's going anywhere either.
All right. Alex, listen, we appreciate it. Wow, almost like 30 minutes here. We know you're a busy guy. Thank you so much. Hopefully we can chat throughout this series, because hopefully it's going longer than four games than what you predicted right there. That's Alex Hooper.
Right.
Find him on Twitter, at Lex Hooper. He covers the Cavs and the Indians for 92.3 The Fan there in Cleveland. Alex, thank you so much.
Hey, hopefully I'm wrong about the Cavs. And hopefully you'll still have me on after all of those kind things I said about them.
Don't worry about it. I'll keep your number, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
All right, have a good one. That's Alex Hooper right there. Chris, good stuff from Alex. Again, find him on Twitter, at Lex Hooper, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. He is the beat writer for the Cavs and the Indians. Real quick, some react to all that. The Cavs got to have that series that they had against Toronto. They have to play to that level and even better.
And
I want to hear what you may think. They got to have somebody else step up in this series. I don't care who it is. That's why I threw out the names Clarkson and Hood. It's got to be someone else besides LeBron, obviously, Kevin Love, and us counting on JR and Korver to hit some three-pointers. Somebody else has got to, unexpectedly for us, step up and play some solid offense, or it could be a quick series.
You ready? Here's my player.
Okay.
You ready? Larry Nance Jr. I think Larry Nance Jr. ends up stepping up and having this huge breakout series, and I think he plays well. He might not
score 10 plus in a game.
Maybe he does. Maybe all of a sudden he catches fire and they get him the ball on the low block and he starts scoring on some of these turnaround jumpers, you know, deep in the paint, get some offensive rebounds, some stick backs, and I think Larry Nance Jr. could be a factor. Because who are they going to have match up with him? You know what I mean? You're not really going to put Draymond there.
No, and Nance will be that, like you saw in the Boston series, be that energy guy, come in, get
exactly.
some blocks.
Look at how good he played the last couple games.
Yeah, protect the rim. He even got some steals
right.
in those games and did well on the defensive end.
He's played in Oakland because he was obviously, just the finals, but because he was a Western Conference guy, you know, so maybe he feels a little more comfortable out there.
And
I'm thinking Larry Nance Jr. steps up. If they're going to win the series, I agree with you 100%. They got to have somebody else. Kyle Korver's got to be a dead-eye shooter like he was against Boston. George Hill's got to play immaculate, and LeBron just has to keep doing what he does. I mean, let's be honest. I understand that from an energy standpoint and a stamina standpoint, you cannot take the ball to the rack each and every time down the floor if you're LeBron James. I get that.
He could if you only want him to play 35 minutes a game.
But the bottom line is when he puts his mind to it and he goes to the hole, there's nobody stopping him. There's nobody in this league that can stop LeBron James.
Yeah.
When he goes to the rack and he has his mind made up, it's not happening.
Which we see all the time. He gets the ball beyond the 3-point line, holds it, surveys the defense, clears things out,
brings
whoever he wants over for a screen, looking things over. I mean, it's just the mind of LeBron and how it works. He's like almost a quarterback out there, if you will.
But he cannot get tired like he did in, you know, game five, game six in
happen.
Boston.
I mean, this is game 101.
I understand that.
LeBron,
but guess what?
This season.
Give him some IVs, give him some juice, whatever. But he's
some orange slices.
He's got to go, and he's got to play. He's got to play 42, 43 minutes a game, and he's got to play 40 points, 40, 45 points a game for them to do this.
A game. Well, I tell you what, with him having to probably guard Kevin Durant a time or two here or there, I would say if LeBron averages 45, 46 minutes a game, which is realistic in these finals, I say out of that amount of time, he'll probably be guarding Kevin Durant maybe 30 of those minutes, 25 to 30
of
those
minutes. And he's going to be tugging on the shorts.
And that's going to be key. Also, you mentioned Hill on those guards out there, Curry and Klay Thompson will be key as well. I felt this in the Boston series, in particular in Game 7. And in no way am I comparing Boston to Golden State. But in that Game 7, I said to myself, once we get this lead and make Boston feel us, make Boston feel that pressure, I knew it was going to be our... I just knew we were going to win that game.
What did I tell you last week? There's no way they're beating LeBron in Game 7.
Right, but that same thing goes against Golden State. And I think tonight is huge. To not only stay close in that game, don't let them get up by 12 or 15 and get out on that run. You got to stay close the whole game and in the fourth take that lead and make them feel that pressure a little bit, because they didn't feel it really against us last year in the finals. They were tested a little bit against the Houston Rockets. What's also going to be key in this series is the third quarter play. Throughout the playoffs, Golden State is the highest scoring third quarter team in the NBA throughout the playoffs, like I said, so it's, you know, not every team. But and we all know how the Cavs have played in the third quarter throughout these playoffs.
Well, you get up by 12 points if you're Cleveland. You can't just put it in cruise because you see what happened against you with Houston.
It's the unsafest lead in NBA
history.
You
could be up by 30 and you're unsafe, because the bottom line is Houston kind of put it into cruise and they start jacking up threes to try and push that lead instead of attacking. And then before you know it, they were down by 8.
What was it? Houston, they were up 3-2, and in game 6, they got up, 15 or 17? And had a chance to close it out. That lead slipped away. And then in game 7, they were up by that same margin, either 15 or 17, their highest lead, largest lead.
And then, boom, they were down 8.
That's how it goes sometimes.
This team can put up points so quickly.
I know. They can score 10 points in about 2 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's
And we go on a stretch where we miss shot after shot, and they get rebound and get out on the run. We all know what's going to happen. We're going to have to take a few punches here.
Yep.
But then we're going to have to throw our own back. Listen, I predicted it on the morning show, guaranteed this morning, that the Cavs will win game 1. I don't know why I'm so confident. I'm not as optimistic about the rest of the series, but I don't know why, Chris, I feel so positive about game 1. I think some of it has to do with what everyone's been talking about the past few days. If you don't think the Warriors know that they are historic favorites in the finals, you're out of your mind. They know. The Cavs know that they are as historic underdogs with the best player in the world on their team. Everybody is aware of everything. If I think we're going to get even just one game out there, just one, it's going to be this one.
I agree. I think that my prediction, I'll say Golden State wins in 6.
The popular pick is 5. It went 5 last year.
No, I think 6.
I can't really call it. I'm just going to say I'm taking the Cavs in 1, and I think for them to extend this series, and think about this, the longer this series goes, 6 games, 7 games, I think it favors LeBron and the Cavs.
I agree with that.
And the longer it goes, I think if you can just get long-term outlook, if you're the Cavs, if you can just get to that game 6 at home, to get to game 6, maybe where you have a chance to force a game 7. You just got to get to that game 6. So you win tonight, you only have to win 1 out of the next 4, right?
Right.
You got to get to game 6, but it all starts, I think, with tonight.
Yep.
Kind of set the tone and put Golden State on notice. So, all right, Kale, thanks for coming in and taking your time.
You're welcome.
Joe Gekler, we missed you, but we will hear from him tomorrow night. Yeah,
and thinking of the Gekler family, they lost dear pet George.
Little Georgie,
So, you know, thoughts and prayers to them, especially Braden. I know how hard it is on him, I'm sure. And you know, we're thinking about you guys and pets are family, man, you know, so it's tough. I went through it and, you know, but bottom line is you buy another one and you get over it. That's you what buy, you got to do.
You buy another one.
That's what you got to do. Man, now's your chance.
No, listen, adopt. Okay.
Or you can adopt. Yes, there you go.
Do that.
I agree.
There are plenty of dogs out there that may, not to bring the room down, that could soon maybe be euthanized if nobody adopts them. So please maybe go to your local pet shelter. You can get one scot-free. Listen, I got my dog free. He's a mutt, Cody, best dog around. They say mutts are the best anyways. They have less health problems, that kind of thing. But I digress. Now we're going down a different path. Get your pet spayed and neutered, everybody. Hey,
final Big Z Sports Show of the season tomorrow night.
Yeah, Chris, thanks, like I said, for coming in. Joe will be back tomorrow for the Big Z Sports Show starting to ride at 6 o'clock. We will break down and give our analysis on a Cavs Game 1 victory. And whatever happens, we will break it down nonetheless.
Yep. We'll set you up for the weekend in sports.
To do all that, that's the Big Z Sports Show tomorrow. Again, big shout out and thanks to Alex Hooper from 92.3 The Fan. Covers the Cavs up there in Cleveland. Find him on Twitter at Lex Hooper. Also, give a shout out to Speedy again for us real quick.
Yeah, Speedy Septic and Drain Cleaning in Strasburg, our Facebook Live sponsor. Of course, give them a call locally, 330-878-5423. For inspections, pumping, drain and sewer cleaning with camera verification, they are a local family-owned business that provides septic tank maintenance service as well as liquid waste removal services and drain cleaning. Give them a call up there on 6th Street Southwest in Strasburg. And speaking of Strasburg, good luck tomorrow to the Lady Tigers state semifinals.
Yeah.
We'll have your report on that tomorrow night as well.
Good call on that. I almost forgot about that. Once again, if you're watching on Facebook Live, you missed any of this, rewind it or go to the podcast section at WTUZ.com. This will be posted up there, us breaking down Game 1 of the NBA Finals and looking ahead to that and the rest of the series with Alex Hooper from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. For Chris Kale and Joe Geckler, who couldn't be a part today, I'm Eric McElroy. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. It's Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ.
We're the home of Big Z Sports, 99.9 WTUZ.